My name is Ben Sahuni, and I'm one of the pastoral interns here on staff at the Evanston Vineyard. Over the past several weeks, we've been looking at the different spiritual practices that Jesus participated in his life, and we've been talking about how we can incorporate those practices into our own life. Today, we're going to continue that series by talking about the spiritual practice of prayer. So, first, a little bit about me. I'm 27 years old, and I grew up in this church. I was born in Skokie and have been coming to the Evanston Vineyard in some form or fashion my whole life. There have been some seasons where I was living in different cities or different states and could only come here when I was visiting friends or family in town, but I've always considered the Evanston Vineyard my spiritual home. It was here that I learned how to pray, and I've received lots of input about my prayer life from the pastors on staff here. In my own spiritual journey, prayer has been incredibly important to me. In the last 8 years or so, prayer has been the main catalyst for spiritual growth during every season of life that I've gone through. So when Ted assigned me the spiritual practice of prayer as the thing that I get to preach on for this series, I was really excited. Prayer is what I'm most passionate about in my relationship with God, and seeing other people fall in love with God through prayer is something I have a huge heart for. I want to mention that we've already talked about prayer a couple of times in this series. A couple weeks ago, Autumn preached about praying for other people. A few weeks before that, Ted talked to us about solitude and silence, the importance of getting away from the world for a time to be alone with God. And what I'm talking about today is similar to both of those, but I want to look specifically at the spiritual practice of getting alone with God and having an extended time of conversation with Him, what I'll call devotional prayer. Devotional prayer, I think, is one of the most well-known, but at the same time, maybe most overlooked practices of the Christian life. We pray in groups and we pray in corporate settings, but we rarely talk about what a private prayer life looks like and how that affects us and what that means for us. So today I want to discuss three reasons why we do devotional prayer, and then I want to talk briefly about what it can look like to do that. So, why do we pray privately? Well, the easiest answer to that question and the first point that I want to make is that we do this because Jesus did this and because he told his disciples to do this. It's clear to me from reading the gospel accounts of his life that Jesus had a rich devotional prayer life. Here are just a few verses that speak to this, and these are all in your program. In Matthew 14:23, right before he walks on water, the text tells us, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. In Luke 6:12, it says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. In Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. In Luke 5:16, it says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And that's just a few of the many, many verses that mention Jesus going off by himself to spend time with God. He woke up early, and he stayed up late so that he could spend time in devotional prayer with God. Now, I want to briefly note just how countercultural I think it was for Jesus to go off on his own in the Middle Eastern culture that he lived in. My dad and his family moved here from Lebanon in the 1970s, and I just want to say that my dad and that side of my extended family has a very different view of interpersonal relationships than my mom and her side of my extended family. When I was growing up, my dad's sister lived directly across the street from us with her family, and my dad's brother lived two blocks down the road with his family. So I saw my cousins multiple times a week. Oftentimes, we wouldn't even plan it. We would just walk over to their house and ring the doorbell, and they would drop what they were doing to come hang with us. Or they would do the same. They would come to our house, and we would just spend time with them. My dad's side of the extended family is 30-plus people, and we get together multiple times a year to celebrate holidays, birthdays, sometimes just to celebrate warm weather. So I remember one time my dad was remarking to me about one of his relatives who had recently moved abroad, and he said to me, poor so-and-so must be so lonely over there. He lives all by himself with his wife and two children. And to me, I was blown away, because a spouse and two kids is just about the American ideal. But to my dad, that sounded like a very lonely existence, because he just had very different expectations. One time when my dad was in college, his family had guests come and stay with them for a few weeks. And my dad needed some time alone, and it was a small, cramped house. So he went for a walk just so that he could spend some time praying. And when he came back, my grandpa gave him kind of a hard time about it. He said, you know, that was rude of you to go off by yourself. And these people were staying with them for multiple weeks, so I don't think that sounds rude when I hear the story, but all of this is just to say that in my experience of Middle Eastern culture, going off by yourself is not always the easiest thing in the world. So the fact that Jesus made this a priority when it was so against the grain for him speaks to how highly he valued his time alone with God. The unifying thesis of this series has been that we become like Jesus by doing the things that he did. When we live the kind of life that Jesus lived, we are shaped to be like him in every facet of our being. And the point I want to make is that we can't just choose to be like Jesus. If we want to treat people the way that he did, if we want to love people and love God in the radical ways that Jesus did, then we have to choose the overall style of life that Jesus chose for himself. And that means not just in his public life and his ministry when he was with crowds, but in his private life as well. When we spend time in devotional prayer, as Jesus modeled for us, God works in us. He changes our character. He changes our hearts, and our character is formed by the time that we spend with him. The second reason that I think devotional prayer is so important is because it allows us to develop intimacy with God as we experience his loving provision over our lives. I think often when we think of prayer, we tend to think of time spent reading scripture, maybe time spent in talking to God throughout the day, maybe time spent in worship. And all of these are wonderful and life-changing practices, but I think that there's a special place in our lives for private conversation with God. In my experience, we only develop deep intimacy with God when we sit with him and talk about the deep things in our lives, the deep things in our hearts. In devotional prayer, we get to be alone with God, fully seen and fully known. Now, despite growing up in a Christian home, obviously a great church and a great family, I didn't really see the value or importance of a private prayer practice until the summer after my sophomore year of college, when I was 20 years old. That summer, I got promoted at my job. I had been working as a lifeguard at the Skokie Pools ever since I was 16. Some of you may have seen me there. That summer, I turned 20, and they were like, okay, he's not a teenager anymore, I guess we'll put him in charge. It was a terrible idea, but they made me what's called the pool coordinator, or PC. And as PC, I was the highest authority on site most of the time. I had a boss, but his office was about a 10-minute drive from the pool, so most of the time, I was the highest authority on site, and I had to respond to any emergencies that came up. I had to administer first aid to anyone that needed it. I had to break up fights. I had to call the police sometimes. I had to call ambulances. And I had to sprint over to any lifeguards if they had to jump in the water to save someone. I had to run over there. I had to be the first one responding. And I was 20 years old, so all of this responsibility was incredibly stressful for me at that time, in a way that nothing I'd experienced really up to that point had been. I was terrified every day going to work that lifeguards wouldn't show up for their shifts, that we wouldn't watch the water safely, that there would be a medical emergency, that I'd have to perform CPR, but would forget my training and not really know how to do it. Worst of all, there was this external company that came and audited our lifeguards, and they would come when we weren't expecting them and didn't know that they were there. So they would come and they would kind of sneak in. We literally wouldn't know they were there. They would hide in the bushes and they would film our lifeguards to make sure they were watching the water appropriately. And they would come once a month. So as we approached the end of the month, it was like, they didn't come yet. It's the 26th. We know they're coming in the next few days. So we were terrified all the time that they were going to come. And I was terrified as the manager that they would come and film us and we would do poorly on it, and that would reflect poorly on me, that I was running the pool in a negative way. And I started having intense physical reactions to my stress and anxiety, the worst of which was that I stopped being able to sleep through the night. I kept having these horrific nightmares where it was like I was running away from a wild animal that was trying to chew my leg off, and I couldn't get my legs underneath me. Does anyone ever have that dream where you like can't run for some reason? Or I was swimming and I couldn't figure out which way was up, so I couldn't get my head above water and I was drowning. And I would wake up like half sleepwalking, thinking I was at work, thinking I was like at the pool, but also aware that I was in my pajamas, and I was like, why did I wear my pajamas to work? And then I would realize I was at home in my bed. And this went on for about a month, and at the end of that month, I was miserable. I was exhausted from a lack of sleep, and I was so stressed out. So I brought this all to my dad, and I mentioned the issues I was having to my dad, because I specifically mentioned the dreams, because my dad has something of a prophetic gifting when it comes to dreams, where he's really good at helping people notice if God is talking to them through dreams. So I came to my dad, and I was like, hey, Listen to these dreams I'm having. I think that God is telling me that he wants me to quit my job, because I wanted to quit my job. And my dad listened to me, and he was like, no, I think you're just stressed out, which wasn't helpful for me because I already knew that I was stressed out. But the conversation didn't end there. He told me that a lot of times God invites us into deeper prayer practices during times of increased stress and anxiety. So he asked me what my prayer life was like at the time. And I walked him through what my regular time with God looked like at that time, which is I would spend some time worshiping. I would play my guitar, sing some songs. Then I would read a chapter out of a Christian book. Then I might read a chapter of the Bible. And then I might spend a couple minutes just praying to God if someone had asked me to pray for them for something or if I had something on my mind. And this was a wonderful practice, and I loved doing all of those things, and they helped me fall in love with God in a way that I never had before. But my dad correctly pointed out that it didn't sound like I was spending a lot of time actually talking to God in prayer, actually having conversation with him. So he suggested that I just try that I try praying to God out loud, and that I ask God how much time he thought I should spend with him every day. But my dad also mentioned that in his experience as a spiritual director, people experienced deeper levels of change once they started praying for 30 minutes every day. And when he told me that, I immediately was like, yes, that sounds awesome. I want to do that. But I was also really intimidated because 30 minutes sounded like a really long time to me. I didn't know how to sit and have a conversation with God for 30 minutes. I didn't know what we were going to talk about. It sounded really boring. I just wasn't about it. But I was desperate, and I really couldn't survive staying at my job with things the way they were, so I gave it a try. So I went in my room, and I set a timer, because otherwise I knew I'd be looking at the clock every minute to make sure that I hadn't, or to see if I was close to 30 minutes yet. And with my timer set, I sat up in bed, and I prayed for 30 minutes. And I found that 30 minutes wasn't actually as long as I expected it to be. It didn't fly by. It felt like a long time, but I got through it, and I survived. I started just by praying for everything I could think of to pray. I just asked that God would do all of the things that I felt like I needed him to do. And then by the time I was done with that, I checked the clock. I had like 10 minutes. So then I sat in silence for a while, checked the clock. I still had 9 minutes. So then I started thanking God for just all the blessings that he had put in my life. And then the timer went off, and I was like, okay, that wasn't the end of the world. So I kept doing it every day. And every day, I would tell God how stressed I was, how scared I was about work, how tired I was, and how badly I needed to sleep. And I kept asking for things, because I had so much that I felt like I needed. I asked that there would be no lifeguard jumps the next day. I asked that the people who audit the lifeguards wouldn't come while I was working, or that if they did, that I would do well. I asked that all the lifeguards would show up for their shifts so that we wouldn't be short-staffed. And I know some of these might sound like immature requests, and honestly, it might not be how I would pray for things now, but God met me where I was at, and I immediately started to see answers to prayers. Lifeguards who had always been late to their shift before started showing up on time. Stressful meetings and rental events got canceled. Patrons who had a habit of causing tons of trouble suddenly became model citizens. There was one day that I showed up to work, and the auditors were leaving because they had come and done the audit the shift before me. So I guess the pool coordinator who worked before me hadn't been praying, but I had been praying, so I was really happy about that. After that, I was hooked on prayer. I did it almost every day for 6 months, and then I started doing it for longer, and then I started doing it multiple times a day. There was a long time where it honestly felt like if I asked God for something, there was a really good chance that it was going to happen, as long as it was something that was concrete and external. I prayed a lot for inner change. I asked God for character growth, that he would make me a more loving person, a more patient person. And I'm sure that God heard those prayers, but I didn't see answers in quite the same way. I think it's just harder to notice those changes because they come over time. But if it was something that was concrete and external that I really needed or that was really important to me, so much of the time I saw God come through. Through the years, I've seen so many answers to prayer that it's ridiculous. I've had people I tried to get a hold of for months suddenly respond to my emails in a timely manner. I've had projects at work that I had no control over suddenly get completed on time. Last summer, my brother-in-law randomly offered me and my roommates an entire home gym when he had no idea that my roommate had been praying for weights because it was the middle of the pandemic and everyone was selling their home workout equipment for like millions of dollars. So we'd just been praying for an affordable solution, and then my brother-in-law offered us his weights. One week when I was wrestling with some doubt in my faith, I was praying to God just that he would reveal himself to me a little more completely or a little more fully. And the next day, or maybe 2 days after that, I had a conversation with a non-Christian acquaintance who, without me prompting him, started telling me the story of a time that he medically died, that he drowned and medically died and heard a voice from God telling him he had a plan for his life. And then he woke up in the hospital. And I was blown away because I'd been asking God to show me more of himself. God answers our prayers. So going back to that first summer when I was 20 years old, I experienced a severe reduction in anxiety. I didn't experience it right away when I asked God to alleviate my anxiety, but I experienced it over the course of many months as I saw prayers get answered again and again. And I genuinely started to know in a new way that my life was in the hands of a God who provides for me. So we spend time in devotional prayer because when we do, we get to experience the joy of having God take care of us. And that joy leads to trust, love, and intimacy. The final reason I want to look at for why we pray is that when we spend time with God in devotional prayer, it makes space for more of God's will to be done in our lives. I feel like I've often heard in the church that God is not our magic wand. He's not our genie. We can't just ask him for whatever we want. And that's true. And there are so many times that I've had prayers go unanswered that I really wanted to see fulfilled. But even though God is not our magic wand, when we live our lives in relationship with him, he does take good care of us. And he does that not just by reducing our anxiety, but by accomplishing his will in our lives. He brings us to where we need to be when we need to be there. What I think is interesting about my journey with prayer is it's not like I wasn't asking God for anything before I started praying for that half hour. I was asking God for the things I felt like I needed, but it was only when I started praying for that longer chunk of time that I really started to see answer after answer after answer. And what I think was going on there is that as we spend more time with God in prayer, our intimacy with God grows deeper. And the deeper our intimacy with God becomes, the more our will aligns with his, and so we start asking him to do the things that he already has a mind to do. A couple of years ago, I was unhappy in my job. I was really bored and felt like I was wasting my life in a job that, you know, paid the bills but left me feeling emotionally and spiritually very unsatisfied and drained. So I just spent months praying that God would show me the way forward in my career, that he would show me what the next steps were. I applied to a few graduate programs, I spoke with a few recruiters, but it didn't feel like anything was panning out quite right. So I just kept praying. I didn't ask for a specific job, I didn't ask for radical life change, just prayed that God would show me what his next steps for me were. A couple of months later, when I wasn't actively applying for jobs or anything like that, I randomly got an email from someone about a post I had made on an online messaging board inviting me to apply for a job. And the post I had made on this messaging board was not like, hey, I'm looking for a job. It was just describing what I did for a living. And someone just emailed me out of the blue saying, I think that you'd be a great fit for this position. You should consider applying. And I looked at it, and the position was great for me. It was exactly in line with what I wanted to be doing. And once I got that email, I started praying to God for that job specifically. And I submitted an application, and I interviewed, and I got hired in a very short period of time. And then just a couple months into working that job, they gave me the opportunity to work full-time remote, which allowed my wife and I to move back to Chicago, which is something that we had been wanting to do for 4 years prior. And because of that, I'm now here doing this internship at the Evanston Vineyard, which I wouldn't have been able to do. And it's so easy for me, looking backward over the past 18 months, to see God's hand in every one of those moments. It's not that he answered a prayer for a job when I asked for a job. It's that he has kept my life and my wife's life on the path that he has for us. In regular time spent with him, I had a pretty good idea of what to ask for and when to ask for it. When we stay close to God in prayer, it is hard for our lives to go too far off track. So, just to recap, the three reasons that I've outlined why we spend time in devotional prayer. We do it because Jesus did, and he told his disciples to do so as well. We do it to develop intimacy with God as we get to experience his loving provision over our lives. And we do it because it makes space for more of God's will to be done in our lives. So I want to close just by talking a little bit about how we pray. I feel like we all kind of assume that we know how to pray, that if we can just get alone with God and grit our teeth, we'll know how to have a conversation with him. But in my experience, there's actually a lot of nuance to prayer, and I think it's easy to get discouraged if we go into it with the wrong expectations. So I just want to mention a few things that I've found helpful in my own prayer life or that I've seen be effective in other people's lives. The first thing I've seen be really helpful is to try praying out loud. This might sound like a small shift, and it's not a requirement. Your prayers still count if you pray in your head. But for me, if I try praying in my head, I get distracted so easily. And it's also hard for me, even at the end of that time, when I look back on it, to know what of that time was I actually praying, what did I actually pray for, and what was just my mind just racing. If praying aloud is too intimidating, or it sounds weird, or you don't think you could find privacy in your own home to do so, maybe try journaling as well. I know that's a helpful mode of prayer for me, especially if I'm on vacation or just in a place where I can't get privacy. Journaling is a great way of connecting with God. Another thing that makes a difference is being intentional about the time we spend with God in prayer. When Jesus tells his disciples to pray, he tells them to go into their room and close the door. So to me, this means setting aside time where we aren't doing anything except praying. I like to set a timer. I know that might sound legalistic, and if it sounds legalistic, please don't do it. But for me, a timer is freeing, so you might try that if it sounds appealing to you. Prayer just becomes a much less daunting task for me if I know exactly how long it's going to take, and it also frees me up from feeling like I need to pray as quickly as I can for everything I can so that I can move on with my day. And it frees me if I don't have a lot to talk about, I can just talk for a little bit, talk about what we need to, and then spend some time in silence with God, just enjoying his presence. The last thing that I want to encourage us to do is to pray our emotions to God, in particular thanksgiving. In our relationship with God, it's powerful not just to ask him for things, but to tell him why we want the things we do and to express our emotions surrounding those requests. This is why we do the gratitude section as part of our services each week. From gratitude to fear to frustration, sharing our emotions with God builds intimacy with him, and it makes time spent with him feel like much less of a chore as we feel like we're talking to someone who actually cares deeply about us. I'll give an example of this. My wife Eva works as a nurse in the emergency room in Chicago, and she works the night shift. And so she has to deal with a lot of pretty crazy stuff a lot of the time. I can't believe some of the stories she tells me when she comes home. She deals with people coming in with life-threatening injuries, with illnesses that are life-threatening. She has to deal with people that are having the worst day of their lives. Sometimes her hospital goes on lockdown when they get patients who are coming in as a result of gang violence. So every day that Eva goes to work, I pray for her safety. But I don't just pray, God, please protect Eva and keep her safe. I say, God, thank you that Eva has this job that she loves. Thank you that you are taking care of her and that you are going to do what is best. And then I tell God, I say, God, I feel scared tonight. I'm scared that she'll experience something traumatic or that someone will try to hurt her. And then I pray, God, if there's any way, please keep her safe and bring her home safely in the morning. But above all, please let your will be done. So my invitation to you this week is to experiment with devotional prayer. If it sounds manageable to you, maybe try waking up a few minutes earlier every morning this week and sharing a cup of coffee with God. If you hear that and you're like, I'm really not a morning person, maybe try ending your day a few minutes early so that you can spend time with God before bed. If you feel like 30 minutes is appealing but intimidating, maybe try just starting wherever you feel comfortable and then just increasing by short intervals until you get to where you want to be. The amount of time doesn't actually matter, as long as we give ourselves enough time to separate from the world and experience God's presence. And when we pray in this way, day after day, we experience the peace and the hope that come as a result of intimacy with God. We'll become a people that are transformed by our personal encounters with the living God, and we come to know the surpassing worth of Christ, so that when we read a parable, like the one in Matthew 13 about the man who finds this treasure hidden in a field, and he loves it so much that he goes and sells everything he has to buy that field, we know exactly what it's talking about. Because we find this relationship with God that is so real. It's this incredible treasure to us that is so valuable that we aren't exaggerating when we say, take the world, but give me Jesus. So God, I just pray that that would be true for our church today. And going forward from here, Lord, I just pray that we would be a people that love time with you, that are empowered by our relationships with you. And I pray that you would meet each and every one of us where we're at as we move forward from here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, everyone.